Welcome to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, for your Hot Seat Edition. Today we'll be talking about Russia and Ukraine, and I will finally give you my full take from point A to point Z, if that's even possible, if there's that many points to connect, but I will do my best. But as usual, before I get really in-depth, I have some thoughts I have to share out loud. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew. In this Russia-Ukraine situation, I have some thoughts I need to share out loud with you. Now, the last couple weeks, I've actually touched on this. But if you haven't been keeping up with it, now you really get the down low of how I really feel about this situation. I didn't really want to get to this point, but it's been forced upon me by everyone else. So I will put my full thoughts on full blast for the whole world to digest and assassinate my character as a result. And you'll see why in just a second. Now, Russia and Ukraine is all up both the left and right wing media seems to be interested in discussing these days. If you kept up with the news, you would think the issue is black and white, with Russia being the antagonist, while Ukraine and the West are the protagonist. One would think this has direct impact on our lives, forcing us to put boots on the ground, despite the fact that it's been less than 1 year since we finished a 20-year war in Afghanistan. Let me just repeat that real quick. It's been less than 1 year since we finished a 20-year war in Afghanistan. That said, if you kept up with the news, you would think this is propelling us into another world war. World War III is on the horizon, folks. That's the rhetoric being spewed. However, there doesn't really seem to be an appetite at my level, the working class, to get involved with this foreign affair, nor invest into the narrative that Ukraine and the West are free from sin and that this is worth putting boots on the ground. Personally, I think this is a distraction. The great distraction, even, unworthy of investing ourselves into. Now, let me clarify that I do sympathize with the individual citizens of Ukraine whose lives don't revolve around politics. They are literally in the crossfires of political games from both sides. Yes, both sides. I do not subscribe to the narrative that Putin is the only one to blame. Don't be mistaken. Putin does bear responsibility. There is corruption in Russia's government, and his aggressive approach and motives should be questioned, no doubt. Yet, the West has intervened in the relationship between Russia and Ukraine since the fall of the USSR or Soviet Union. Here's the bomb. This is going to completely go against the narrative, but this is true. This is undisputable that the West put Zelensky in power. There are allegations that Zelensky, his behavior matches one of a dictator. Ukraine's government is also corrupt. That is true. What I don't know is whether the rumor is true that there's a genocide taking place against Russians, as Putin declared he's going to rid the country of neo-Nazis. I can't confirm whether neo-Nazis run Ukraine's government, despite visual evidence of at least part of their forces using swastikas or Nazi symbols in uniform, yet Zelensky has teamed up with the neo-Nazis in their country to fend off Russia. And you could look at it as the enemy of my enemy is my friend. It's up to you, but this is just the information, right? Oil is another concrete factor into the situation. How much it factors is inconclusive given the other allegations. There are buried reports of the Ukrainian army being the ones hurting civilians while scapegoating the Russian army. Yes, they're out there. And yes, it's not just from that Sputnik state-sponsored Russian company, per se. I actually saw one from a French reporter. An independent French reporter completely disconnected from Russia. That's where I got that from. Now, there's also a possibility that Russia's invasion protects the people from another world pandemic, similar to what happened in Wuhan. Putin accused the United States and the West of creating biological warfare by having biolabs built throughout Ukraine. The biolabs are confirmed. You can even look it up at the U.S. Embassy website. That is confirmed, but the intentions are still unclear. Would it surprise me? Not at all. Let's point back to Wuhan. Some will disagree with me as far as the intent behind Wuhan manipulating the COVID virus in a lab. However, the manipulation went beyond what was necessary to study how to combat the virus should it cross over to humanity. Enough to conclude that it was created for biological warfare. Hence, if that's what was taking place in Ukraine with their biolabs, and if history has shown they're willing and capable, why aren't we allowed to be skeptical? This is where the distrust and disconnection really comes in. The distrust is this. There are many holes to this narrative being presented concerning the manner. One can logically conclude there are facts being suppressed. Information that can help the public comprehend how much they should invest in Russia and Ukraine. Now, you don't believe me? Fox News interviewed recently a Ukrainian parliament member who stated she was fighting for Ukraine and a new world order. Now, why would I bring this up? If you look at social media headlines, both left and the right-wing media, you would miss the part where she says she's fighting for the new world order after the live interview on Fox. Big Tech has already taken steps to censor any information coming from Russia, labeling the alternative perspectives as propaganda. This is done with the illusion, keyword, illusion, that the Western media hasn't been a propaganda machine themselves. How many of us have seen these corrections at this point from our side, our media? Some have justified this by stating that Ukraine's media has every right to exaggerate what's happening. And that's fair. There are the ones being invaded. But what about our media? Journalists are supposed to respond to the truth, respond to the will of the people. And that's where we have to disconnect. America first, baby. Americans aren't interested in global issues unless they are self-inflicted or have a direct impact on our lives, such as the attack on Pearl Harbor or 9/11. The oil dependency is self-inflicted. The oil dependency on Russia is within our control. Just finish the damn pipeline. Besides this, there's no justification for involving ourselves in the situation between Russia and Ukraine. In fact, I would argue the intervention has led to this point. You know the rule, don't meddle in someone else's relationship? Yeah, that applies here. People of Russia and Ukraine have a long, rich history. Take the politics out. The people actually get along with each other. They have family, friends, and careers that cross over their borders. Additionally, let's also consider that since the Vietnam War, every time America put boots on the ground to defend democracy, it left the world more destabilized than before. Clearly, the global elites haven't learned that lesson, which begs the question, why are the globalists obsessed with Russia and Ukraine's relationship? There's speculation that there's a bigger agenda being pursued. Why else would they ignore the people's concern about what's transpiring at America's southern border? Why else would they ignore these mandates that go against their constitutional rights or human rights? Why else would they miss a story like Washington State having involuntary quarantine and isolation camps? Why would they ignore the America's People's Convoy to D.C., the rising crime in urban cities, or economic woes like inflation and the gas prices, right? Oh, let me also remind people that there's still 9 to 15,000 American civilians who've been abandoned in Afghanistan. There are many, many other issues happening here right now that the American mind, including myself, is prioritizing. Our country is collapsing eternally. America is in no position to send troops overseas to fight a war when we aren't addressing the manners that are weakening our own sovereignty. Now, this gets into humanity's corruption, but also God's perfection. The corruption part is the globalists recognize this behind closed doors. However, they're willing to gaslight the American vote to justify their behavior. Because there's money to be made off war. And if you ask questions about why Russia is invading Ukraine from Putin's perspective, show a hint of siding with Russia, or claim neutrality, You are the new target to be ostracized from society. This thought process seems eerily familiar, doesn't it? Perhaps with Black Lives Matter after the death of George Floyd? Maybe Kyle Rittenhouse? Jesse Smollett? The COVID lockdowns? Mask mandates? Vaccine mandates? The Wuhan lab theory? Hunter Biden's ties to Ukraine? The election results? Are references to suggest there's a pattern. A pattern that informs us that the elites haven't been trustworthy thus far. Why should we give them that trust now when they haven't earned it? And this is where God's perfection comes in. God is the only constant in all of this. God will always, always find a way to bring the truth out, no matter how hard the corrupt heart tries to put it in a grave. It will take time, but until then, don't be guilted for not wanting to prioritize what's happening with a country many of us couldn't point out on a map. Don't feel pressure to remain silent with your questions. Lean on God. Don't accept everything as fact, but don't dismiss everything as false. Take everything with a grain of salt. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break. And now to sponsor myself, me. That's right, I have absolutely no money to be made off this, just getting the word out. Now, if you've ever wondered where I get my Thinking Out Loud monologues from, well, I'm glad you asked, because they're just my articles from a Substack newsletters. Just type in the URL at kenjin296.substack.com. I repeat, kenjin296.substack.com. Spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, 296.substack.com. Then you can follow me on Instagram, Getter, TikTok, and soon, Truth Social at Kenjin_Express. I repeat, Kenjin_Express. Then last but not least, you can follow me on Facebook. Type in Taboo Topic in the search bar. Look for the logo that says Honesty Equals Understanding. There's two episodes a week. I have a Hot Seat Edition where I scrutinize an opinion or story, popular or unpopular. Do my research so to provoke thought. Remember, that also comes with an article on Substack, so don't forget about that, on Wednesdays. Then on Friday, we go over current events, where I pick 2 to 4 stories I found interesting, and hopefully you do as well. Possibly more if I have a guest. Then there's a good conversation, so we can cover as many bases as possible, so you, the audience, have less holes to fill in understanding the truth. That's 2 episodes a week, guaranteed, which you can listen to this show on any platform, from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, and more. So stay up to date and tune in. Don't forget to leave a review either. If it's less than a 5-star, let me know so I can better serve you. Here on this show, we dare to think out loud and question the narrative. Free speech triumphs your safe space, because in order for us to think, we have to risk being offensive. If we want to have true peace in our society, we have to be able to be honest with each other. If we can be honest with each other, then we'll have a true understanding that will lead to real peace. Amen? All right, let's get back to the show. Welcome. Welcome back to Taboo Topic. I am your host, Ken Drew, for now. probably get deplatformed based on the trend right now, from what I just said. That was probably the biggest bomb I just made. The biggest bomb of questioning the narrative done in a while, especially given the time sensitivity of this. Woo! Let me know your thoughts, by the way, through the social media platforms. Do you agree with me? Disagree with me? Hate me? Love me? I don't care. I'm probably going to get labeled a Putin sympathizer, Russian sympathizer, whatever. As usual, the whole point of these episodes is to provoke thought. That's all I want to do. What do I have to gain from expressing these allegations? The allegations that Zelensky is not the hero the media is trying to make him out to be, such as, you know, he's there to fight off the Russian Empire. He's not this hero protecting democracy, but in reality, he's his own dictator. There's corruption in his own government. It's been that way for a while now, even before he got in power. Got put in power, I should say, by our own puppet masters in the West. What do I have to gain from the French reporter talking about the story that she got from the ground that it's the Ukrainian military, not the Russian army, that's hurting Ukrainian civilians? What would she have to gain from that? It's career suicide for her. So what would she have to gain from that? What would she have to gain? Seriously. If anything, like I said, it's career suicide, because right now everything else, including the conservative media, which I'll get into the conservative media in just a second, everything is just black and white. Russia, Putin, the bad guys, the West, Ukraine, United States, good guys. Not at fault for what's going on. And you know what? I would agree that maybe, and perhaps most likely, Russia shouldn't have invaded. I probably would agree with that sentiment. I don't want war. I don't like war. Especially when it's unnecessary. Do I view this war necessary? No, I do not. I do not think this war is necessary from anybody. That's the difference between this potential, supposedly third world war and the last world war from my grandparents' generation or great-grandparents. That's the difference. That war was necessary. Hell, even for America, we got attacked by the Japanese Empire. That forced us to actually go in a foreign land because our values were being under attack. Our country was literally under attack, and it happened after 9/11. That's why I say that Afghanistan is justified, at least the original intent, afterwards, because like I said before, the war was finished. We won the war in Afghanistan around 2003, 2004. The fact that we stayed there afterwards was just a result of profit. The military-industrial complex. Same thing with Iraq. The story about weapons of mass destruction, that was a result of profit. That was not a war America needed to get themselves into, involve themselves in, put boots on the ground. And now we have an entire generation, generations, I should say, because, hell, my dad was part of the Iraq war. He was part of that war on terror. And I was the second generation. So this is pretty much two generations of this war on terror that took place, where we have people dealing with PTSD. They've lost limbs, lost lives, loved ones. They have to deal with the fact that their loved one may never be back physically, but also mentally and emotionally, maybe because of their PTSD issues. It broke families apart, etc. And that's the thing I want to emphasize this as well, is that I do sympathize with the average citizen of Ukraine. I really do. And I even talked to someone this week on Instagram who has a mother he has not heard from in the last 3 to 4 days. And if you're listening to this by one in a millionth chance or a billionth chance out of the billions of people on Earth, I want to let you know, like, I really do hope you find or you hear back from your mom soon. I've lost a mother before, and that would be terrible. Turned out that she was affected by the war. I would hate to hear that. The regular folk are the ones who gain nothing from this. They have everything to lose. Despite the media narrative, Zelensky doesn't really have much to lose besides power, perhaps, maybe. Other than that, like, what does he have to lose? What do these political elites have to lose? They're not sending their people to war. And you can say, oh, Zelensky is out there fighting at least. Well, okay. Has there actually been live footage of him firing back? I know he's done live videos in his own comforts from his own building in certain places. But all those photos we saw with him being on the front lines, per se, has already been retracted as, well, those are older photos before Russia invaded Ukraine. And even then, is he really a great leader that's defending democracy if he's jailing people who disagree with him, from political opponents to journalists and media pundits? Is he really defending democracy? This is what I'm trying to get at. That these governments, both of them, Ukraine, the West, and Russia, they're corrupt. They're all corrupt puppets. They're all corrupt. It's a war of the assholes. They're just trying to make a profit and trying to pursue a bigger agenda. Now, I'm not going to speculate too much into this right now as far as like what that bigger agenda is, aka the Great Reset. But I will get into it eventually. As a matter of fact, something to look forward to in a couple weeks. Ryan from Between the Liars is going to come back on the show for the to actually join for a hot seat edition. And we are actually doing research and we're going to talk about the Great Reset. So be make sure to tune in for that. With that said, though, this bigger agenda hurts the average citizen. I want people to remember we need to separate, all right, separate the political class, you know, those global elites, and the average person, both from Ukrainian and Russian, even the Russian people. Like I said, I am not oblivious to the fact that Putin is a corrupt president. And he also behaves more like a dictator. I am well aware of that. Russia does not believe in free speech. There are protesters right now, literally protesting this invasion as we speak, right now, today. And they're being jailed for speaking out. There's laws even. And ironically enough, Russia just imposed a big tech ban on anyone who spreads fake information or fake news. They will be jailed now. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? And listen, I am an absolutist pretty much when it comes to free speech. I don't think that's right either. But I find it ironic that the Western media is calling Russia's media propaganda with this delusion that the Western media is any better when it comes to telling us the truth and not spinning the narrative, spinning what is actually going on. Do they really think people like myself at this level are that dumb? Like, we can tell when you're lying. We can tell when something doesn't smell right. We can still smell the shit in the living room, pal. And a lot of people share this sentiment I'm sharing right now. They're skeptical of the narrative that this is black and white and that the West, United States, and Ukraine are defending democracy. They're the good guys, and Russia's this evil empire trying to reconquer in the name of past glory, former glory. Nostalgia, right? You know, what if the Western media needs to take a look at themselves in the mirror. What if they're trying to bring back the Cold War? Because crisis allows people to be distracted so they can take freedoms away. That's what it does. Right? That's what we saw with COVID. That's what we saw after 9/11. You could make the argument. The steps we took at the airports, for example, the security was necessary. And I would tend to agree with that. Think it's common sense, and I don't think there's not much to dispute these days. Granted, some international airports, and I speak this from personal experience now, they really get in your business when it comes to their pat-downs. But for the most part, I mean, what? You go through security, go through motion detector, metal detector, don't bring a gun to the situation, and listen, I am a Second Amendment advocate at this point. I am fully on board. And I disagree that we shouldn't be allowed to carry a gun. But imagine if the passengers actually carried a gun at the plane during the time. Even the pilots. Who knows? Maybe 9/11 wouldn't have happened. I don't know. But I don't say that to disrespect anyone who's been a victim of these circumstances, these terrible tragedies in life. I don't mean to, it's not to disrespect the lives that have been affected, both the Ukrainian and Russian people as well. Russian soldiers have died. And that's another thing, though, too. we have to understand that when it comes to Russian, the Russian people in particular, I don't know. It's just, even the Ukrainian military. All right, let's just take out the fact that the Ukrainian military, as a matter of fact, I'm just going to speculate if the Ukrainian military is bombing their own people. It's probably the neo-Nazis, maybe. I don't know. But everyone else, right? For everyone else who's actually fighting the front lines, they have families, right? The Russian military also has their own families. And a lot of them are probably not going to come back home. They're not. And when they don't come back home, guess who that affects? The regular person. That loved one who was waiting for that father or husband or wife, daughter, aunt, nephew, whatever. They're waiting and hoping they would be safe during this whole situation. Didn't come back. Those are the ones that get affected. They're the ones who have more to lose than our own little puppet masters in the West. Maybe that should describe these elite class, right? These little puppet masters, and then they have their own puppet master on top of the puppet master. I don't know. What do you think? Let me know. And listen, when I provoke and make these allegations, and I am well aware that it is a possibility that I am 100% wrong, and I don't want it to be right either. It's not like I want to be right when it comes to like an allegation such as the Ukrainian military bombing their own people and then scapegoating the Russian army. That is sickening, right? To think that that is something that is that could happen. And people don't seem to realize that for power, the lust of power, oh, it can corrupt the human heart. It can corrupt the human heart so much that you don't understand the level of depravity one can reach when it comes to power, whether it's just grabbing power or holding on to power. You don't understand. That's the reason why I bring these allegations up, because you cannot underestimate the human heart, the corruption of the human heart, and the level of depravity they're willing to, they're going to go through for that sake. But when I bring these allegations up, like I said, it's not because I'm trying to be disrespectful. Some may hear these storylines, these rumors, and say, why would you even bring this up? Why can't you just get behind what everyone else is saying, that, you know, Zelensky is a badass hero, they're defending democracy, why can't you just leave this alone? Well, let me ask you this. If I knew the real killer to your loved one, who it was, and the police was prosecuting someone else, would you rather me go ahead and prosecute that individual that is clearly innocent? Or would you rather me tell you and the system who actually committed the crime? Would you rather me comfort you with lies just for the sake of giving you that sense of justice? But it's not real justice because the person who you pursued didn't commit the crime. Would you rather do that? Or would you rather me hurt you with the truth at that idea and then pursue the real criminal who murdered your loved one and then get real justice? Which one would you rather have? Personally, offend me. I don't care. Even if I don't want to hear it at the time, I want to hear the truth. I want to know what happened to my loved one. I want to know who murdered my loved one. I want to know who hurt that person that I cared so deeply much about. I want to know the truth. Tell me. That's just me. And some people, they'd rather just go off the lie and seek the first thing they find, scapegoat the first thing they can think of that makes sense to them, and snap of their finger, they're the bad guy now. And they're just not going to change their mind about it, no matter the evidence you present them, the amount of proof you give them that it's not them, it's someone else. It's not going to matter to them because they're so tunnel vision at that point that they forget that justice is not about just prosecuting anybody just for the sake of throwing them or holding them accountable. Justice is to make sure that we have people who committed evil acts, those are people that should be held accountable. That's real justice, right? And so when I make these allegations, and some of these allegations are confirmed, like I said, the BioLabs, that's confirmed. It's confirmed that neo-Nazis and Ukrainian parliament government are teaming up to fend off Russia. You can make the argument, like I said, that, you know, well, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I get it. Cool. Whatever. But, yeah. All right. let's just be open to the idea that maybe this is not about defending democracy. Like, we're so being strongly pulled. And let me tell you, the right-wing media, I've been really disappointed. It's so bizarre to watch the right-wing media. This is the second time I've seen them do this, where they've just gotten on board with one narrative after criticizing the mainstream media. And the only other time I've seen this, really, when it came after the 2020 election and the events of January 6th, where they just got too scared to contradict the narrative that perhaps there was real corruption with the election results, and perhaps the events of January 6th wasn't worth losing your mind over to the point of calling it a riot. If you would have asked people at my level, the working class in particular, we would not call it a riot. We would have given you a much, much different perspective than you heard from people like Ben Shapiro, for example, or someone from CNBC, NBC, whatever. You would have heard a much different perspective. It was more like a frat party to us, but that was like the only other time I've seen the conservative media do something where they just completely become their own worst enemy all of a sudden. They become the very thing this war to destroy, as Obi-Wan would say to Anakin at what point. As a matter of fact, because of what I'm seeing from the right-wing media, this is validation why I do what I do. Because this sentiment I just expressed today is a sentiment that I'm sure you probably have, and that many and millions of people in America, and maybe worldwide, I know at least 15% of you are from Romania now, and you're right next to Ukraine, next to the situation. But you probably have a much different perspective than what the media is telling us right now. And maybe it's exactly, and maybe it just so happens the Western media for once is telling the truth. I hope you're right, if that's the case. But I'm just letting you know the pattern I've paid attention to, the pattern I've noticed. And they're going to tell people like myself that we have no room. There's no room for people like myself or people like you who have these sentiments, these opinions, these thoughts. You don't have the right to freedom of speech anymore. You ought to be ostracized. And you know what's funny? Every time they do that, like I said earlier, a lot of these conspiracy theories turned out to be true, and it's not so conspiracy anymore. And it makes you wonder, who should we actually validate when it comes to news? If CNN tells us, hey, this is false, and we hear a smaller company tell us this is actually true, and 9 out of 10 times that smaller company is right and CNN is wrong, 9 out of 10 times, who should we actually listen to, do you think? Who should we actually start validating more? The little guy or Big Brother that's telling you what to think, what to feel, telling you what you're allowed to have, what opinions you're allowed to have, what sentiments you're allowed to have? Who do you think is more trustworthy? Who do you think is more trustworthy than these political hacks that have lectured us for years how life's supposed to be? And then when they get put in charge, we see how ungreat these ideas really are, aka Joe Biden and his ideas. How many times have we seen this now? Defund the police, doesn't work. Open borders, doesn't work. America, America, America first, baby. We have so many issues going on here. I don't even get into the religious aspect either when it comes to where our country is at right now. Spiritually, I don't think we have a chance to fix the problems eternally without resorting back to God and relying on God anymore, inviting and inviting God into the room when it comes to these conversations. There's no chance if you ask me. Because I believe that God believes in sovereign nations. I believe God wants justice and doesn't believe in letting violent criminals such as rapists, murderers, out with a slap on the wrist, basically, in the criminal justice system. I don't believe that God wants people to be lectured by the very people that are supposed to serve us. They have more like a self-serving attitude, these public servants. I think God's against that attitude. I mean, am I wrong? If you're Christ follower, do you agree with that perspective? Am I crazy to think that? Maybe I am. I don't think I am, but I'm open to being wrong. Again, and here's the difference between what you'll hear from the media and what you hear from like little shows like this. My little show, like, I am open to being wrong, and I will admit when I don't know something. These bigger public figures, these pundits, commentaries, or so-called journalists, they like to think they're their own expert, and they know everything, and they know what's best for us. And that anyone disagrees with them, we're just wrong for having that sentiment. Don't even take the time try to view and understand our perspective and why we think this way. And because of that, excuse my language, but fuck you. No boots on the ground, no taxpayer dollar should go to the situation. I'm sorry. If you want to do like independent donations and campaigns, America, it's freedom of speech, go for it. I'm not going to be Justin Trudeau that's going to suggest we need to freeze bank accounts to a cause that I don't really believe in or agree with. It's not that I don't support that idea as much as I don't trust where that money is going unless I know who's running that campaign. So if someone like, let's say, Justin Trudeau opened a GoFundMe for the Ukrainian people, I don't trust him that money's going to actually go to the Ukrainian people. I'm just saying, I don't trust him. And why should I? Why should I trust any of these political hacks? Why should you trust them? Why start trusting them now? Why have you been so gullible to actually go along with this narrative after questioning him for so long? Is it because the conservative media is actually going along with this too? Maybe you should ask conservative media, why are you going along with the left-wing media all of a sudden when you've been questioning every step of the way, except one other occasion, like I mentioned earlier, January 6th, and the 2020 election. But other than that, every step of the way, you've questioned them and their trustworthiness. Why start now? Question the conservative media. Don't just go with the conservative media because they're not the left-wing media. Critical thinking, folks. That's going to be our saving grace. And the more people wake up to this, the more we'll be less likely to get ourselves and put boots on the ground and potentially get into a situation where we will regret later on down the road. Take everything with a grain of salt, like I said. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this short break. And now to take a short break from the show to keep my promise and bring in awareness to the situation in Afghanistan, where we have about 9,000 American citizens who were left behind as a result of the disastrous withdrawal efforts by the Biden administration last year. The elite globalist leaders, the media, and big tech may have forgotten about them and would rather focus on other manners, but the reality is we have Americans who are in harm's way because nobody wants to hold our leaders accountable. It's just too inconvenient for them. So, this is a special shout out to the families and friends who have someone they know and love stuck in that country, and also to the very ones who are stuck there. You are not forgotten, and I'll keep mentioning you until there is a report, there is a concentrated effort to bring you home, and every single one of you comes back to American soil. Please, if you fall into one of these categories, either you're the family friend and know someone that's there, and you want to let me know how we can better help you out, please reach out. Or if you're that person that just so happens to be stuck there and you happen to be listening to this episode, please reach out to me. You can reach out to me through my personal account on Instagram at Kenjin296. I repeat, Kenjin296. Spell the word engine, put the letter K in front of the word engine, then you get Kenjin, one word, 296. Please, you're not forgotten. To my audience out there, don't forget to pray. Let's pray for their safety and their return home. And now, back to the show. Thanks again for tuning into today's show. This is your host, Ken Drew, on Taboo Topic for your Hot Seat Edition. I really appreciate it. And listen, I want to give a quick, humble thank you. I've noticed the show has garnered some more plays and a bigger audience, so it's reaching more of you now. I'm really humbled by the fact that you guys are coming on my show and you're giving me your time of the day to listen to what I have to say. By all means, let me know how I did so I could better serve you. If it's anything less than a 5-star, please let me know in the comments and the review section. I want to serve you. So you're my main audience. You're the reason why I do what I do. And with that said, folks, until Friday for this week in review, God bless.